Welcome to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast, where trauma survivors become healthy thrivers. Each month, we'll feature a theme in the trauma recovery and empowerment field to promote your recovery, healing, and learning how to build dreams. Here's your host, Karen Robinson, transformational coach and therapist.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Heal, Thrive, Dream podcast. Our guest is Sarah Webb, and I'm going to read a short bio that Sarah has provided me, and she's going to fix anything I mess up, because I usually mess up. Yeah. That's what my selling point is I mess up things. Sarah is an author, an inspirational speaker, a spiritual activist. She's dedicated to living intentionally and our mission of healing the world one person at a time. She inspires people to access the power within themselves by teaching pocket-sized techniques to process stress, improve daily happiness, and bring the best versions of themselves to their own lives. She resides in Florida with her spouse, brilliant children, and too many four-legged fur babies to mention. Yeah. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your time and your effort to be here. So I am going to just, you know, I never really start with like social graces, like, oh, how are you? Because we do all that before we get on the podcast. I probably should say that to the guests. We did our little niceties and introductions beforehand. So I'm just going to jump in, Sarah, because we go about 25 to 30 minutes. What led you to the work that you're doing now? But more specifically, what has happened in your life trauma-wise that created this passion within you to be an inspirational speaker and author?
Well, thank you again so much for holding space and for the work that you're doing. I think it's so important to shed light on things that most people want to keep in closets. And I may be a little bit circuitous as I tell my story and answer your questions as to the work that I'm doing and how it led me there, but trauma for me started very early. I grew up in a household that was not physically abusive, but I grew up in a Southern Baptist, very strict household and in Southern Louisiana. And there was sexual abuse that started early from a family member who was close to the family, very early. And I've done a lot of healing work with a transpersonal hypnotherapist in order to access those repressed memories that my subconscious owns. And it really continued to perpetuate itself as I got older. I had some harrowing experiences when I lived overseas. I had a particularly traumatizing event 14 years ago where I was, it'll be 15 years ago at the release of this podcast, I was raped by 8 men, and it was pretty brutal. They beat me up. They pretty much left me for dead outside. By the grace of God or whomever you might want to believe, they did leave me outside of the hotel where I was staying. It was somebody who was a hotel employee. I was on vacation at the time, ironically, in Florida, where I was not living at the time. And it was in the panhandle of Florida. And I just repressed it. I did not go to the police. I made sure that I was not pregnant. And I'm very grateful that I survived it. I did tell my sister, and she encouraged me to go to the police. But I didn't tell anyone else. Instead, I repressed it, shoved it down. You know, I want to say my subconscious did exactly what it should do or what it's designed to do. And I didn't really seek any therapy. Instead, I found a lot of consolation with alcohol. Mm-hmm. And it was did not want to deal with it. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Very consistent. The bottle will do exactly what it's supposed to do. It will numb. And I did not really begin to deal with any of it. I just knew that I was stressed. And so having been a yoga practitioner, I started trying to find ways to meditate. And I was looking for classes that you could find at yoga studios. I went to Buddhist temples. I sought out Deepak Chopra online courses back once that became available. And I just was looking for some way to calm my nervous system. And finally, 6 years ago, I was listening to a podcast and I had been trying all kinds of mindfulness meditation. And on the podcast, they had a mindfulness expert and a TM or a transcendental meditation expert. Mm-hmm. And I just loved what I was learning about this TM that I'd never heard about, which is a mantra-based meditation. It does cost money, which a lot of the mindfulness doesn't really cost very much because you have to have a teacher who teaches you this mantra-based meditation. It's a 4-day course of 2 hours each day. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to try this out. And I got on tm.org and found a teacher in my area and quickly signed up for a free introductory class and then signed up for the course in very short order. At the time, I was pregnant with my now biological daughter. And that was the first time that I was sober from alcohol, was when I became pregnant. And that was the first time I realized that I had a problem with alcohol, because I noticed that I was teaching for a college. I was being a recruiter. And around 4 or 5 p.m., I would have an automatic thought that it was time to have my glass of wine. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I would say, oh, gosh, no, I have a baby inside of me. I've been trying to get pregnant for years, which I had given up completely trying to get pregnant. Of course, I'm not going to have any alcohol. But it made me aware that I was having this automatic thought. And then when I started meditating regularly, that space of awareness that meditation creates just made me even more aware, especially after I gave birth and started drinking again, because I was dealing with postpartum depression. I was repressing the fact that I'm gay. I was living in a household that I just wasn't happy with myself or my marriage. And I was continuing to cope with alcohol. And it really made me, you know, that what meditation does for everyone is it allows us to have that space between stimulus and response. It allows us to do what we call in yoga and what we call in meditation to be the witness, to be watching the movie screen, which you can still have emotions, mm-hmm. instead of in the movie, and realize that, okay, this is happening to me, but it is not me. So it's just this beautiful cascade of events. I had experienced all this trauma, become addicted to alcohol, started meditating,
beautiful cascade
begin to
of
change
events.
My relationship. I mean, it's over a decade and a half, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and began to change my relationship with alcohol. And that allowed me to realize again, because I had been gay. I tried to call myself bisexual when I was in college and thereafter, but I only dated women. But I was just so afraid that my parents would not accept me for who I am. And they still don't accept me for who I am. They refuse to come to my wedding, to my wife. They have met her begrudgingly, but you know, they still just believe that it's a choice and that you can pray the gay away. And so, you know, as I got sober, which it took me about a year and a half to actually get sober, I realized I don't have to drink anymore to have sex with men. You know, I was using that as the coping mechanism in order to become intimate with my partner, whoever it might have been, as I was trying to get married and have a baby the right way. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm free. I am out of the closet. I'm off the bottle. I have forgiven through deep hypnotic meditative and with that transpersonal hypnotherapist. I've gone into that space. I've relived that event. And I've seen every single one of their faces and I've forgiven all of them. And I don't have to live with that heaviness anymore, because it's like you've heard before, I'm sure. Anger is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Me being angry about those events, those people who traumatized me, isn't going to make them suffer. It only makes me suffer. So all I can do is move forward and be grateful that I've had this opportunity to heal, because healing requires injury. And when we do hard things, it makes us stronger. So yes. Mm-hmm. I know that was pretty circuitous, but I hope adequately answered your question.
You did. I'm just so sorry that those things happened. And I'm grateful that you have been working on your healing journey, which sounds like a lot of meditative work and hypnotic work. What else did you use in your healing journey?
Well, I mean, to get sober, I found a group of women who spoke my language and was able to connect on another level. There's a pretty famous, it was one of the very first TED Talks a while back, that the opposite of addiction is not sobriety. The opposite of addiction is connection and feeling like we're connected to people. And it was when I found a group of people, women in particular, but the first meeting where I found people who were in my Toastmasters group or were in other social groups, I was like, wow, you're sober? I didn't know. And and just having that connection and feeling like, okay, those are upstanding members, people who I respect, and I can do this too. So I'm 2.5 years off of alcohol, and I have never looked back. I mean, I experienced such a spiritual awakening as a result of my sobriety. I am so grateful that I don't have to numb myself. And I don't think that alcohol is necessarily bad. I think that a lot of people are normal and they're able to use it normally and put it down. But sometimes when we have traumatic things happen to us, it just seems like it's a beautiful, you know, and what's so interesting about alcohol, and I won't go too much into this, you know, because it is sobriety that really opened up these doors, but it's meditation that allowed me to make space to get sober. We so readily accept as a culture, you know, oh, I'm celebrating something, I'm going to have a drink. Ugh, I've had a hard day. I'm going to have a drink. I'm stressed. I'm going to have a drink. We so readily accept that this is going to alter our perception, that it's going to alter our mood. But what we deny is that it may permanently alter our perception, permanently alter our ability to feel.
That's powerful.
And so when we begin to, and the first time I experienced that was when I was pregnant, when we begin to eliminate alcohol, we have to feel things. We have to feel them fully. We have to be present for them. And alcohol is, you know, people are addicted to shopping and gambling and
ice cream,
the television and ice cream and any screen, the social media, it's a dissociation, distraction, double whammy. You know? And so it doesn't matter what it is. I mean, mine happened to be, talk about addiction to sugar. I mean, alcohol is a double addiction because alcohol is addictive by itself. And then afterwards, I had to get rid of the sugar addiction, because they really promote in some of these rooms of, you know, I got sober in AA, they say, eat sugar, you know, eat candy, have your desserts, give your body that fix that it was getting with hundreds of calories of alcohol every single night. So in answer to your question, it really is meditation that I've used in order to heal myself. I do a lot of independent reading on quantum physics, quantum mechanics, neuroscience.
I'm gonna ask you that, so thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a big bibliotherapist.
Awesome. Yeah. Gosh, I
got my pen and paper ready for your book recommendations.
Well, most of the work that I did around quantum physics and quantum theory was in college. I just was really interested in string theory and things like that. I read, I'll have to go look in my library of books.
You can always email me. But
absolutely.
I always love to hear, though, like what inspirational books you've read recently that you recommend.
Oh,
other than you're on, I want you to talk about your book, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm a big bibliophile for sure. And I use books to try to get sober, too. I tried to read myself sober and it just didn't work. I had to find people who I related with.
Community. But, yeah.
Exactly. But as far as the information that I mean, I do a lot of Dr. Joe Dispenza. He makes neuroscience really palatable for the masses. And even the books I read about quantum physics and quantum theory, they are for the layperson. I mean, I am not a scientist. So anything that's written for the layperson, there's his last name's Green. I read his entire book, another one by a famous physicist. In any case, when you look at brain waves, we have five brainwave states, and the highest is gamma, and that's like heavy problem solving, puzzling. We can't stay in gamma for very long. And then you've got beta. All your waking time is in beta. That's a slower frequency than gamma, which is very high frequency brainwaves. And in beta, this is all of our waking time, except for theta sometimes. So we wake up, we're moving around, we're talking to people, depending on whether we're just listening, that's low beta. If somebody were to say, okay, you're going to have a test on this podcast, you might move into like medium beta. And
no test. Relax.
And then for high stress, that high stress level is high beta. And that's when the cortisol floods our bodies, all those toxic chemicals. Then below beta, you've got alpha. And alpha brainwaves are first stages of sleep where you're easily rousable. And this is most meditation is in alpha brainwaves. It's much slower. It's much more likely that your brainwaves are going to be coherent. And then underneath that is theta. And theta is where deep healing, deep hypnosis, it's very, very slow. We go into theta during our waking hours when we are doing something that requires the subconscious to take over. So like washing dishes, taking a shower, driving, all these things that we know how to do. That's why you might notice that during those times you have like great ideas bubble up, or you might think of something because you're actually accessing the subconscious mind during those times. And then delta is deep sleep. And you might ask about REM sleep. That's when you switch back up into beta, but you've got paralysis. So you go through those stages of sleep. So when we meditate, we're able to be awake, sitting up, which I highly recommend, not laying down, especially not laying down in a place where you sleep because you'll fall asleep. But if you can sit up and get into these lower brainwave states, we can actually access the subconscious. Okay. Why? I'm a questioner. Here's some facts that you won't find anywhere except for my Instagram. And this is referenced in my book as well. All around us, there's billions of bits of data with a B. We process, the human brain processes around 11 million bits per second, but we're only conscious of between 40 and 50 of those 11 million bits per second. So on average, we're conscious of 45 bits out of the 11 million bits per second that's coming into our brains and our bodies. I did the math. That means that we are conscious of 0.04% of everything that's available to us. I'm not, but I love it. I'm not a scientist, but I love information. So 0.04% is what we're aware of. 99.96% of everything that's coming into our brains and our bodies is being processed by our subconscious. This is why we get gut feelings and the hair stand up on the back of our necks, because we know, but it's not conscious. Absolutely. I'll give you one more fact and then I'm going to put them together. We have 11 million sensory receptors in our bodies. 10 million out of 11 million receptors have to do with our sight. Even though we have five senses, most of them have to do with our sight. So if you want to access the 99.96% of information that's already inside of your body, shut off 10 million of the 11 million sensory receptors and go inside. That's why meditation works. That's how I healed myself.
I'm following.
I healed myself because I went inside and I was able to access. I mean, meditation is such a beautiful space where you can sit down with a question or not. And sometimes answers come. And sometimes it might not be the answer, but it might be a breadcrumb. It might be a person to contact, you know, that's how I did it. Yeah. Okay. I remember my friend talking about how he healed himself from this trauma. I'm going to reach out to him and see who it was that he worked with, because I know that they're local, or maybe I can meet with somebody on Zoom, you know, like it's a breadcrumb. It allows us to access the things that we already have inside of ourselves. And when we go through hypnosis, that's working with a practitioner to put you, I mean, meditation is self-hypnosis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Period. It's just a fancy term for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So sorry if I took up way too much of the few minutes that we have.
Well, but I just want to tell people listening, maybe because the YouTubers will be able to see, but she was saying all this from her memory, like the numbers that she was throwing out people. So I call nerd alert.
Oh, yeah. I'm a major nerd and I'm proud of it. If you got something weird to say, come sit next to me. I mean, really, I love it.
So tell us about your book and is what you shared with us in your book.
Just
deep dive into that.
Well, it's an art piece. It's a collection of original poetry, 55 poems that I wrote rather quickly, actually. I compiled some things that I've been writing for years and expounded upon them. So my book is called Look Lush. The first volume or the first section of it, part one, is Look. And it's 21 poems, and that is dealing directly with the rape trauma and healing from that. Mm-hmm. The second part is 34 poems. It's entitled Lush, which is a double entendre because something that's lush is very beautiful and prolific. And also it's slang for somebody that drinks too much. And that is my healing in conjunction with nature because I was like 80 something days sober when quarantine hit. I spent a lot of time at the beach. I spent a lot of time alone. And I also came out of the closet at that time.
You were busy.
Yeah. Well, I had come out of the closet to my family, but I came out socially on social media and publicly because my parents, of course, denied that I was gay and that, you know, they wanted me to stay married to my ex-husband and crazy shenanigans. But yes, so Look Lush is an art piece that deals with how I healed. And it's not graphic in nature, but it does focus, you know, largely on the healing instead. Because, I mean, we all have trauma. We all have trauma with a capital T. We have trauma with a lowercase t. And healing is possible if we just access the power that we have within ourselves. Because I just gave you the statistics. You have the power. We all have the power. It's just a matter of finding the right power tools to access it.
Yeah. We have all the answers we need within.
That's right. Absolutely.
It's very powerful. Very powerful.
So my book is available. It's out on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. It's $9 in print. That's paperback. It's $4 as a digital download. So I hope that you enjoy it.
Awesome. I look forward to reading it. I usually try to get the books that my audience members and my clients too, right? And so I have this big stash of books now that I just cannot wait to keep digging into it. I love it. Okay. So for anyone that's listening who maybe had a recent assault or are struggling with an addiction right now, or usually it's both, right? We know that a lot of people with addictions, it's because of the original wound of being something traumatic and drugs, alcohol, food, et cetera, is their medicine, right? So it's very easy to understand where people can get addicted to substances. But let's say that a person's out there and they're really struggling. What words of wisdom, inspiration, hope do you have for someone right now listening that needs your guidance?
I always hashtag on Instagram, meditation is medicine. It's free. It's incredibly portable. I mean, I've meditated in some weird places. And it is, I mean, the experiences that I have had inside of my own brain and body with my eyes shut are more profound than any substance I have ever taken. And I've taken a lot of different substances. Meditation is the answer. And I think that so many people are afraid. They're afraid of what they're going to find there. They're afraid that they don't know how to do it. They're afraid that they are doing it wrong. They're afraid that, you know, I think that there's a lot of fear of getting quiet with ourselves. And I mean, for me, it is a beautiful place of solace. No one, it doesn't matter where you are in the world, no one can take that away from you. I leverage the car a lot. Of course, I don't do it while I'm driving, but you know, you just got the groceries. You're about to leave work. You just got to work. You've got 3 minutes. I've got a setting, you know, like the drive setting. And then the number two is the meditation setting where I can just lean back a little bit. Take a few minutes and allow yourself to go within. And if you don't know what to do, check out Insight Timer, check out Headspace. There's so much for free on YouTube. There's really no excuse to not meditate. Really? It's so in the culture. And my biggest advice with meditation is just do it and keep at it. And if you have tried, I mean, there's thousands of different kinds. I just put out a reel on my Instagram about this. There's thousands of different kinds. And if you've tried something and it's not working, try something else, because you can find a teacher or a group, or, you know, if you're an introvert, you can do it alone by yourself. And it is just such a beautiful space. It's such a beautiful habit. And if it's daunting, like I meditate for 20 minutes twice a day, that's what TM is. If that sounds like a lot, and it is at first, unless you have, you know, the tools, somebody to teach you how to do it, if that sounds like a lot, just start the habit. There's a great book by James Clear. I'm sure you've heard of Atomic Habits.
Oh yeah.
Just start the habit, like make space for yourself. Okay. I know that every morning I pour myself coffee and I wait for it to cool. And usually I go distract myself on social media. Instead, I'm going to leave my phone charging, pour my coffee. And while it's cooling, I'm going to sit there and make a new habit for myself. You know, if you have a habit that every day you come home, put your keys down, go to the refrigerator, pull out the bottle of whatever, maybe choose a different side to go to when you walk inside of your door. Go upstairs, lace up your shoes, because the endorphins, serotonin, and dopamine that you'll get from taking a walk is a lot greater than the alcohol. You know, it's all about making that habit. And that's why quarantine was so hard on us, because we had all these little idiosyncratic habits that we were so accustomed to. And they were just ripped away all at once. Even when we have one habit to change, it can be difficult. And it's really not 21 days. It's 90 days. It takes 84 to 85 days
minimum
for the brain to really completely switch over. 21 days is a start. You know,
well, it's based on research that was proven to be debunked at this point.
Yeah. The 21 days. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the thing about meditation too, that I'd like to point out, like I do a lot of work with people that have high anxiety. And we teach a lot of different relaxation coping skills. And I always say that meditation is the crumb of the crop. If you can master meditation, and no one ever really masters it, that might be the wrong word, but if you dedicate time and commitment to it, it takes care of your anxiety, because your body cannot be relaxed and your mind race and be anxious at the same time. So if you're working on your body, and calming and calming and calming and doing the mantra. I love mantras because it gives us something to do, especially if we're anxious.
Yes.
If it, you know, it's distracting. So you give that. And it's also so soothing, the vibration of it. Yes. I love that too.
And there's a really simple one. You talked about the body awareness. If, first of all, anxiety is not an emotion. Anxiety is an inability to experience the emotions that are going on. And so if we can just tap in and say, okay, where am I feeling this in my body? And instead of labeling it,
do you want to bless first?
As something. Yeah. Like I feel my heart beating out here outside of my body. I feel pain in my spine. And instead just breathe into that area. Just allow it. Just say, I'm paying attention to you, because it is literally screaming at us.
Right. I'm not.
But we
okay.
get so cerebral about it, instead of just notice, hey, body awareness, what's going on? You're beautiful. You are perfect. You are whole and complete. I allow this to occur in my body. I'm allowing this feeling. Just make space for it. You know, that's a meditation in and of itself, instead of turning to a distraction, dissociation, you know, like we said.
Awesome. Do you have a favorite meditation teacher that you follow, or guru that you follow?
Or is it just my meditation teacher is a TM teacher here in St. Petersburg, and he's been teaching for 50 years. And
oh, wow.
The great thing about TM is you can go to meetings, and They do them a couple times a month, and you can meditate with other people, which it's so much more powerful when you meditate with other people. And you can ask questions like, this came up in my meditation. Because a lot of TM is, it's very different. It's very different. Like, I feel like a lot of the 4 days of learning is kind of unlearning everything that's in the culture about meditation. Like, you can't cross your arms, or there's no rules with TM, really. It's so effortless. It's just when you can, you focus on the mantra, you can have other thoughts. Like, a lot of mindfulness is like, push the thoughts away, clear your mind, which is so difficult for me because I'm so analytical. I'm like,
it makes us have more thoughts when we try to push.
Exactly. It keeps you in that beta. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like you say, if you give the mind something to do, it's almost like, if you ever get a song stuck in your head, you notice you can have a song stuck in your head and still think. It's almost like the mantra kind of goes into that space and you're able to think. And then all of a sudden, like, you're just so much more relaxed. I had a lot of car injury trauma, my neck, my back, my shoulders. And after 2 years of consistent TM meditation, I had given birth, major birth trauma, hadn't had a massage in 2 years. Went to go get a massage. And I said, I've got a lot of knots in my back. And they were like, you don't have anything in your back, nothing. And I was like, well, I guess it must've been the meditation because I'm relaxing my shoulder. I can feel it after just a few minutes of meditation. It all just kind of relaxes. It's like, once that mantra starts going, it's beautiful. And you know, there's all these unintended consequences.
You just sold it to whoever's listening. They're like, sign me up. That sounds amazing.
It's not cheap. It's not cheap. I'll tell you that. But I would pay 50 times over and over and over again.
It's life-changing.
What it's done for me is so profound and so life-changing. Yes, I will never stop. And I had tried so many different kinds, you know. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Karen.
No, that's okay. No, it's for people listening who maybe don't have the budget for it right now, you know, please check out YouTube and the apps that Sarah mentioned, Insight Timer, Headspace. Headspace has a free trial before a membership, but there's a lot. You just keep looking until you find what works for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Insight Timer. I mean, you can search hashtag meditation on Instagram. I'm sure you find, like, people go live and meditate, and there's lots out there.
I think you should share your Instagram handle.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's my name says, it's Sarah Webb Says, SaraWebbSays. That's also my website, SarahWebbSays.com. And I'm an inspirational speaker and also a coach is what most people would call me. So I work with people for 13 weeks at a time. We have weekly meetings, and that includes outside support of texting with me for a certain number of hours. And my clients are so important to me. I don't accept everyone because not everybody is a good fit for the kind of work that I do, but I do provide meditations to people. It's not TM because I'm not a TM teacher, but it's guided meditation. It's breath work, which our breath is our life force. I mean, it's literally, if we don't have breath, we are not alive. A baby comes out, they breathe. That's what leaves us when we can survive for weeks without food and days without water, but only minutes without our breath. And most of the time when we get stressed, we breathe from the upper part of our chest instead of using the full capacity of our lungs. So if we can learn breath work, which is a lot of meditation, and I have some visualization meditations that are just beautiful. I'm certified with Dr. Sue Mortar of the Energy Codes Mortar Institute. So yeah, absolutely. Check me out. And thank you so much for opening this space, Karen. You're doing such amazing work.
Thank you so much. I'm sorry. That sounded like a wrap, but I do have one more question.
Yeah, you got it.
So you mentioned Dr. Joe. I just wanted to know if you had a favorite book of his.
Well, the two that I love, I have two.
It's okay. Yeah.
Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, which is basically his online, you can go online with him. It's $300 to do his progressive retreat, his online progressive retreat. It's like 23 videos. And that's basically the first 5 or 6 videos of that. But Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself is amazing. And then Becoming Supernatural is, like, if you really want to go deep on the woo, which is scientific woo. And that's what I love about it, because I've always been into the woo woo, but I'm such a questioner. I have to know why.
Big analytical thinker.
I'm going to his retreat in October, his week-long advanced retreat. I'm so excited. I just signed up this week. It just opened up. I'm ecstatic.
Maybe if you make a little video afterwards about how it was, I can add it to the show notes.
Sure. Absolutely.
So in case other people want to do that. Or maybe you hold your own retreats that people can come to.
I held a reset retreat in January here in Florida, and I think I'm going to do it virtually this coming January for a very low fee and just do it like a sporadic retreat with meditation and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Habits and all that stuff.
Yeah. That sounds wonderful. Yeah. Keep us posted so we can see who would be interested in doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being here today with us. It was wonderful having you.
I appreciate you. Many, many blessings.
Thank you for listening in today. Please join us next week, same day and time. Also, I would love for you to check out my website, healthrivedream.com.